Bloody! Oh!
I had acquired three intriguing and risky jobs in a couple of days. Guard the favourite for the Guineas race, Tri Nitro, against a phantom nobbler. Find Nicholas Ash, the con man who was letting my ex-wife Jenny take a rap. And identify the bad boys who formed and manned the syndicates. Not bad for an ex-jockey turned investigator. After leaving Jenny's flat in Oxford, I took a necessary detour which brought me to Ainsford in time for Sunday lunch. Sipping sherry in the drawing room were Charles and Jenny.
I rang Louise. She says you left the flat 2 hours ago.
So I did. I took a necessary detour.
Jenny's in.
Thanks, Charles.
Well, Einstein, are you hot on Nicky's scent?
Well, which firm did you borrow that polish from?
I don't remember.
Jenny!
What difference would it make?
Charles, will you ask your lawyer to find out from the police? The name will be on the invoices.
Certain is it.
Louise said you were prying for ages. Took away some letters ordering wax from clients.
I liked her.
Well, she's clever. Took a first at Cambridge in maths. Rather out of your class, wouldn't you say?
After lunch, I went upstairs and started to pack. Jenny came and watched me.
If you'd done as I asked and given up racing, you wouldn't have lost that arm.
Stop it,
Jenny. I mean, still have been married.
This is old ground.
It's disgusting, that contraption. Oh. You don't seem to care. Hell! You'd go back to racing tomorrow if you could. You can't live without danger, Sid. In an office, you'd die. Nicky carries a knife in his sock, you'll be glad to hear.
Is he truly dangerous or just adolescent? Thanks, anyway.
What for?
The warning. What was the road again?
Middleton.
We've got another job, by the way.
Yeah? As well as your wife's bit of trouble.
Checking on syndicates.
Jockey Club's job, surely.
But we're the check. The checker.
Ooh, tricky.
Without him knowing.
Who?
Eddie Keith.
Ex-superintendent Eddie Keith? Who asked you to check in now?
Lucas Wainwright.
God.
Some undesirables are sneaking into the game and Eddie may be turning a blind eye.
What do we do?
Any ideas?
Hey, you're the brains of these out there.
Middleton Road. John Brothersmith, veterinary surgeon.
Well, gentlemen, what can I do for you?
This is Chico Barnes and I'm Sid Halley. It's just a few questions.
Sid Halley? Aren't you the man with the myoclonic prosthesis?
Yeah.
Can I look at it?
Yes, well, some questions first, if you don't mind.
It won't take a minute.
Give the man what he wants, see?
Oh, all right.
Can you rotate the wrist?
Yeah, a little. Ah. Yeah, there's a sort of a cup inside there which fits over the end of my arm with electrodes to pick up the impulses for turning.
It fits very tightly above the elbow. Is it easy to put on and remove?
Yes, talcum powder.
Thinking of fitting one to an horse, Mr. Brothersmith?
Pardon? Oh, no. It would be doubtful if one could get a horse to activate the electrodes.
It was only a joke.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you, Mr. Alley. Now, what were your questions? Not about insurance or negligence, I hope.
No, I promise. We've come about Bethesda.
Bethesda?
A brood mare. She died foaling.
Oh, I'm sorry. I treat so many horses.
She was a filly, trained by George Casper. Beat everything as a two-year-old and couldn't win at three because of a heart murmur.
No, I'm sorry, but...
Right, but can you remember treating Gleaner and Zingaloo?
Yes, I can remember them. It's possible they were driven too hard as two-year-olds. There's so much pressure on people to win, so much money and prestige. After the Guineas, Gleaner was in a state of complete exhaustion. At first we thought it was a virus.
What virus?
Equine flu. But it didn't develop. The heart murmur did.
What percentage of horses develop bad hearts?
10%.
How many of them have to stop racing?
200 or 300.
George Casper trains upwards of 130 year after year. So three of his going kaput isn't over the odds.
Well, no.
Yeah. Oh, just one more question. Any trouble with Tri Nitro?
Tri Nitro? None at all. His heart bangs away clear and lives are gone.
Thank you, Mr. Brothersmith. You've been a great help. So, that was it. End of case. Rosemary Casper was off her rocker, and no one's been getting at George's champions except, unintentionally, George himself. I had to see Rosemary and calm her down with my report. Knowing how secretive she was over this business, I arranged to meet her in the churchyard at Barton Mills, 8 miles outside Newmarket in the direction of Norwich. Peace and tranquility and no unwelcome eavesdroppers.
What the hell's that?
It's Chico doing his owl noise. He's in the car, didn't you notice? He soon gets bored. Jumpy, aren't you?
Well, what have you found out for me?
Bethesda's dead.
God.
Oh, bad heart. Gleaner and Zinglu also have bad hearts. But the vet who treated them thinks George may have asked too much of them.
George would never do that. Those horses were nobbled, I don't care what the experts say.
But how, Rosemary?
I don't know. But they'll be after Trinitro. It's the guineas a week today. You've got to keep him safe for a week.
Rosemary, in the normal course of events, George will be giving Trinitro some strong work before the race.
I suppose so.
Well, you could make sure he takes precautions first. Inspect the saddle, that sort of thing.
So?
So, what if the saddle was packed with lead, 55 pounds, say, then straight into the guineas and more strain on his heart? Don't you see? If there's something like that, it must be someone inside the stable.
Oh, my God. Sid, I take back all the nasty things I said about you. I've got some money for you.
But I haven't earned it.
You will.
Ever heard of Inky Pool?
Is it a song?
No, it's a work jockey. What's a work jockey?
Not much good at races, but can gallop well at home.
Right, Inky Paul is George Casper's work jockey. Rides Trinitro on the gallops.
Yeah, you've done well, Chico. That'll be useful.
Aye, answer, please.
Armed with race glasses on a strap round my neck, I walked along to Warren Hill at 7:30 in the morning to watch the strings. Wednesday, being a morning for full exercise gallops, there was the usual scattering of interested watchers on the heath. Owners, pressmen and assorted bookmakers' touts. Money, profit, and tax revenue making the usual proper circle under the Suffolk sky. I loved it. And I was still part of it. Even if not in the old way.
We don't see you up here very often these days, Sid.
My loss, Martin.
Why don't you ride out for me next time you're here? Give me a tinkle and we'll fix it.
I'd love to, I really would. Cheers, Martin.
Morning, Sid.
Morning, George.
You staying up here?
Just for a night or two. Is Trinitro in that string?
Yes, he is, six from the front. Have you seen Trevor Deansgate anywhere? He was coming out this morning from London, setting off early.
Sorry.
He's got two in the string. He was coming to see them work, especially Pinafore. You'll miss him if he's not careful, then, in the first.
Do you mind photographs, George?
Take what you like.
I took what I liked. Pictures of Trinitro and his rider, a surly young man in a red scarf. Then I stood back to watch. At George's signal, the first bunch set off. A chestnut with white socks romped home the leader. The last run had started when a Jaguar drew up at speed, and Trevor Deansgate climbed out. He spotted me.
Hello. I met you at Kempton.
Mr. Deansgate.
Have George's horses run yet?
Most of them.
Bloody traffic done and blasted. Did you notice a chestnut in white socks, Pinafore?
Yeah, I did well, way out in front.
Who's galloping now?
Trinitro.
Is he? Well, have a look at him, then.
Jockey with the red scarf. Yeah, it's pretty handy, that lad.
I know. Of course, he's certainly shifty, by God.
Bad news for bookies if he wins, eh? Hot favourite.
Some of us appreciate quality, too. Are you coming to George's for breakfast?
No, not today. See ya.
I left him and sought out a certain work jockey, one in a red scarf. He was walking to his car.
Inky Paul!
Hey! Hey, that was great.
I've nothing to say.
You know me?
Saw you racing.
Yeah, how does Trinitro compare with Gleaner this time last year? The feel of him.
I'm not talking to you.
How about Zingaloo or Bethesda?
Get lost!
I asked Chico to stay in Newmarket, get my photos developed, and find out who saddles Trinitro for the exercises gallops. I told him I was off to London, but would be back Friday night in time for the workout on Saturday morning. Was there something dodgy going on? I wasn't certain either way. I rang Rosemary with a suggestion.
I can't talk to you. We've got people here.
Okay, just listen then. Try to persuade George to vary his routine when he gallops Trinitro on Saturday. Put up a different jockey, for instance, not Inky Pool. And remember, routine is the robber's best friend.
Yes, I'll try. Look, I've got to go now.
What's the latest on Jenny, Charles?
Well, my lawyer sent you the address of the firm that supplied the polish.
Yeah.
He's worried. He says Jenny's almost certain to be charged with fraud. It'll be a Crown Court job and conviction. But if she can convince them Ash was the real villain, she might get a conditional discharge.
Even if he isn't found?
Yes. But if he is found and proved guilty, Jenny might escape a conviction altogether.
Have to find him then, won't we?
How?
Well, I've been sorting into alphabetical order a pile of letters from people who sent money for the wax. But all the surnames start with L, M, N and O, which suggests they might be part of a mailing list. Maybe Christie's or Sotheby's has a matching list.
I'll come to your flat in the morning, if I may, and help you.
You'll be welcome. From the Cavendish, I went to Portman Square, headquarters of the Jockey Club, to keep an appointment made that morning by Lucas Wainwright, instigator of my job number 3, investigating the syndicates. He passed me some files containing Eddie Keith's suspect reports on the syndicates and some notes on the rogues he'd okayed. But he made me stay there to read them while he flapped about pretending to be busy. He was uneasy as hell. In the end, I couldn't stand it any longer.
What's wrong, Lucas?
Well, there's something I didn't tell you.
Yes?
I did send someone else to check on two of the syndicates some time ago, before Eddie checked them, a man named Mason.
Well, what did he find out?
Well, I never received his report because he was attacked in the street before he could write it.
Attacked? Who by?
Nobody knows.
But have you asked Mason?
Mason's a vegetable. Had his head kicked in. Horrible it was.
Oh, God. It couldn't be a straightforward mugging.
Well, the police treated it as intended homicide.
Yeah. Which two of the syndicates was he checking?
The first two you have there.
Containing the kickers, do you think?
Could be.
So, am I investigating the possible corruption of Eddie Keith or Mason's semi-murder?
Perhaps both. Sid, I quite understand if, in view of what I've said, you decided
to... What, to chicken out?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite like that.
Oh, I'll certainly be careful. But I won't run out on you, Lucas. Rest assured of that. I went home in a taxi and paid it off outside the entrance to the flats. Then I walked past a dark car illegally parked. Or I intended to walk past it.
Go! Go! Got him! Get up!
In the car!
What? You! You don't see the
clobbered it past it!
No, you're...
No use struggling, Mr. Halley.
Deansgate.
Oh, Trevor Deansgate.
Take off the blindfold. I want him to see something. Going shooting.
Maybe.
I thought there was something nasty about you.
You do too much bloody thinking altogether, too much for your own good. Got a reputation for it. Watch out for Halley. He'll have you when you think he doesn't know you exist and you'll be in the cells before you've worked it out. Well, I'm getting my blow in first. I know just how close you are to getting me nicked. Just laying your snares, were you? They tell me you've no nerves. Well, things can change. Everybody's got his breaking point. Undo his arms.
Keith! What the hell are you up to?
Is that idle curiosity, or do I detect a quaver in the voice? Come on, you two.
Right, boss.
Hold the arm out sideways. As far as it'll go. Right, Halley. I need to shut you up permanently. I'm not going to kill you. Too much of a risk. Mind you, you might wish I had done before we're through. You've noticed my shotgun is pointed at your good arm. Well, one blast from this will take most of it off. Halley, I do believe you're sweating. I knew you couldn't face that. Now listen, I'm going to give you a chance. You give me your assurance that you'll back off. No more chasing me. You go to France tomorrow morning and you stay there till after the guineas. If you break your assurance, I'll find you somehow and blow your right hand away. Understand?
Right then, say it. You'll back off.
Yes.
You'll not come after me again, ever.
No, no.
You'll go to France and stay there till after the guineas.
Yes.
Right. Here are your keys, passport, checkbook and credit cards. Untie him and drive him to Heathrow.
I spent 6 days in a Paris hotel, crushed into a state of abject misery and guilt. This time I really had run away. The trouble was, I knew that if I hadn't so much pride, it wouldn't have destroyed me to lose it. To have been forced to realize that my basic view of myself had been an illusion was proving a psychic upheaval like an earthquake. Come Wednesday, my mind was in Newmarket, with confident George, neurotic Rosemary, and suave and subtle Trevor Deansgate going about his work unhindered by me. Next day, Thursday, I bought an English newspaper and, shaking, looked up the report of the 2,000 guineas. Trinitro had started hot favourite at even money and he'd finished last. I felt like flying to Timbuktu, but there was no escaping myself. I had to go back to the flat.
Where have you been, Sid?
I sent you a telegram last Friday.
Oh, sure. Leave Newmarket and go home. Shall be away for a few days. Been on holiday?
Yeah, a holiday on impulse.
Yeah, so much of an impulse, you went without the charger. The spare batteries are all here. You haven't been able to use that hand for 6 days. And you didn't take any clothes or a razor. Funny sort of holiday.
What's all this mess?
This mess is the result of the hard graft the Admiral and I have been putting in on your behalf. The polish letters.
The what?
The letters ordering the overpriced polish that made a fortune for that con artist Nicholas Ash. Your wife's bit of trouble, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you'd better sit down. You hungry? No?
No.
Could you manage a freshly charged battery?
Yeah, thanks. Did you say Charles would be here?
Yeah, he went to the Cavendish to meet you for lunch.
Oh, I left a message for him.
Ah, sounds as if he got it. He's back, Admiral.
Hello, Charles.
Where have you been, old man?
Yeah, he wouldn't tell me, neither.
It's his business, I suppose. But we have worried about you, Sid.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Anyway, since you're here, I'll get back to the comprehensive, teach the little bleeders how to throw their teachers. Oh, before I go, Sid, Lucas Wainwright rang 4 times, and Rosemary Casper sounded as if she'd finally flipped her lid. I'll come back later. Cheers.
You've lost weight. What's happened to you?
Nothing.
You lost money, is that it? Speculating? You went dead like this before when you lost your career and my daughter. What have you lost this time?
6 days, and I'm going to have a whiskey.
Oh, is it drink, then? Blasted for 6 days?
Don't be so bloody stupid.
Oh, still got your pride, then?
You like one yourself?
Since you ask, eh?
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, let's sit down, shall we, and get on with tracing Nicholas Ash.
Well, this thick pile of letters is from people with names beginning with M. I put them in strict alphabetical order and typed out a list. It seemed to me we might get results from letter M only. I took the list to Christie's and Sotheby's, as you suggested, but the M section of their catalogue mailing list is not the same as this one.
Oh, you've worked hard.
Chica and I have been sitting here in shifts, answering your telephone, trying to find out where you'd gone. Well, the car was still in the garage.
Charles, knock it off, will you? Now, this is urgent now, and your daughter's future is at stake.
Fair enough.
What we need now is a list of periodicals, magazines dealing with antique furniture. We'll try those first with the M people.
It's an awfully big project.
There's a chance he started operating again somewhere else and is still using the same list.
Oh, brilliant. You've come back with your brains intact at any rate, Sid.
Yeah, and there's the polish. It's just faintly possible that Ash will use the same firm again, even if not at once. You ought to see the danger if he's the professional I took him for. Or he might be a fool.
Well, if he is a professional, he's certainly up against one. Once you get the bit between your teeth, if you see what I mean.
On the other hand, I may be a bit of a fool.
Well,
we don't have to go trailing that mailing list around to see whose it is. All we do is ask the people themselves.
The people?
Those on the list whose names begin with M. We just ask some of them what mailing lists they're on.
Ah.
We only need to ask a few. The common denominator would be certain to turn up.
Bravo! Très élégant! For a moment, you almost look pleased with yourself.
Charles.
I know. But I wish I knew what was bothering you all the same.
I wish I knew what was bugging you all the same.
Oh, don't you start, Chico. I've already been grilled on both sides by Charles.
Well, he's gone, now. You can tell me. You know I'll understand. Yeah, all right, go on, get sloshed if it makes you feel any better. It won't help to bottle it up, though, if you get my meaning.
Oh, yeah, no, you've a gift with words.
Oh, he's made of funny. There's hope yet. Let me fill you in on what happened yesterday. Tri-Nitro got nobbled in the Guineas. They're turning George Casper's yard inside out. Rosemary wasn't bonkers after all, was she? Eh? Why don't you think the villains managed it?
I don't know.
I went along to see the gallop on Saturday morning. I stayed on to do a little job on George Casper's typist, Gok, and that woman's all. Apparently, there was a right old rumpus all day Wednesday in George's house. Started at breakfast. Inky Paul turned up and said Sid Halley had been asking questions that he, Inky Paul, didn't like, okay?
Oh, listen.
Then Brother Smith turned up and heard Inky Paul sounding off and said Sid Halley had been asking him questions too. Yeah, well, George hit the roof.
Did she mention a guy called Deansgate?
No, should she?
No, go on.
Anyway, later on they checked on the studs and found you'd been at Garvey's and Thrace's too.
Does your typist know you were working with me?
Don't look so away, of course you don't. Shall I go on?
Yeah.
Now, on the gallops, I recognised Inky Paul, so I zeroed in on him. Well, there was a lot of fuss when it came to Tri-Nitro. They took the saddle off, right, and put a little one on, and Inky rode on that.
Oh, so Inky Paul rode Tri-Nitro same as usual?
As far as I can make out,
same
yeah.
routine.
If you say so. So what do we do next?
Nothing.
Someone got at that horse. You know they did.
We are giving up the case.
Well, just like that. No explanation.
Look, I decide.
Yeah, okay. Look, we got paid to see it through.
Give Rosemary a complete refund.
I don't believe I'm hearing this.
Don't answer it.
Oh, don't be daft.
Hello, Rosemary.
Thought you were here all the time. I've been phoning you and getting fobbed off by this friend of yours. He said you weren't here.
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
Lying shysters, both of you.
I wasn't here.
You weren't in bloody Newmarket where I paid you to be, that's for sure. George found out you were asking questions before Tri-Nitro let us down. It's all your bloody fault. I paid you to keep him safe and you didn't. All your ideas about changing routine, just useless garbage.
No one can work miracles, even see.
Well, that's where I slipped up. I let myself imagine he could. But I was so sure somebody was out to get at Tri-Nitro, and somebody did.
Why were you so sure?
I don't know. I just knew. That horse went to the post looking beautiful, and in the parade ring before, there was nothing wrong. In the race, he just went backwards. Came in exhausted. Complete mystery. Broke George's heart, and mine.
Rosemary, I'm sorry.
I don't want your sympathy. I just want my money back.
Will a check, please?
What? You're not arguing, then?
No.
You're admitting you failed.
Yes,
a check will do. And don't speak to me at the races. Poor George.
All right. Here you are. Hmm.
Goodbye.
And good riddance, say I. Yeah.
She's right, though, Chico. This time I gave up. I'm no good at this game.
Garbage. What about the jobs lining up besides your wife's fraud business and Lucas Wainwright's syndicates? You're in big demand.
Oh, God, you forgot to castrate me. Oh, get rid of her, please, Chico.
You'll go.
Is Sid
Halley
at home?
Yeah, he is. Come in. Another visitor for you, Sid.
Hello, Sid.
Louise. This is Chico.
Hail and farewell. Got to go now. See you tomorrow, Sid, I hope. Cheers.
Cheers. Do take a pew. Like a drink.
No, not just now, thank you.
All these letters are the ones that came with the checks for the wax.
Are they any use?
I thought it might be a good idea to ask a few of the writers whose mailing list they're on and look for a common denominator.
Sharp, Sid. Perhaps you won't need what I've brought now. It's this book.
Oh, I hope you've not come all this way.
I've an aunt near here whom I visit.
Oh. Navigation for Beginners.
It's Nicky's. I borrowed it from his room and forgot to put it back.
Well,
He was interested in navigation.
Well, I suppose he must have been.
Oh. Ah, John Viking, it says here. Is this...
Nicky's writing? Yeah. I'm not quite sure.
Does Jenny know?
She hasn't seen this. She's away.
Mm. Oh, what's this inside the back cover?
It looks like a formula of some kind.
Well, you're the mathematician. Mm.
Lift equals something or other. Lift what? It's just possible it indicates how much you can lift with a gas bag.
A gas bag? A balloon?
It could be.
John Viking might know Nicholas Ash.
How to find him?
I know someone who's into ballooning and navigation.
Jenny says you never give up.
Her exact words?
Well, no. She said you were obstinate, mm-hmm. selfish, determined to have your own way. But that's not what I see. You look like a sick man trying his best to be polite. I should never have come.
I'm fine, and I'm delighted you came. How long will you be staying with Jenny?
Would that matter to you?
Yes.
I must go.
I hope you're fond of your aunt.
Devoted. Goodbye, Sid.
Goodbye, Louise. The preoccupation with Nicholas Ash, and particularly the presence of Louise, had, for a short time, pushed my worries into the background. But when she'd gone, they crept back. I went through paroxysms of humiliation, helplessness, and failure. Then suddenly, an unexpected surge of anger filled my whole being. After all these years, I would damn well not be defeated by fear.
Whip Hand by Alan England was directed at Pebble Mill by Philip Martin.